Welcome back to iPods Unplugged. I'm Sam Lloyd.
And I'm Tim Nash. And today's episode is a special one. It's the final episode in our first season, and we're taking a moment to zoom out and reflect on the big themes, bold ideas, and reoccurring insights from the past 9 episodes.
We've gone deep on everything from whether retail is dead to why Asia's leading the charge in experiential design and how collaborations, done right, can completely reshape a brand's perception.
We've heard from creative strategists and the wider iPods team exploring how brands can make an impact, whether they got blockbuster budgets or just big ideas. And today we want to pull all of that together.
Think of this as your highlight reel, but with a twist. We're not just looking back, we're looking forward. What do all these conversations mean for the future of brand experience? What should brands actually be focusing on going into the next 12 months?
So whether you're a marketing director, a retail strategist, or someone who just loves this world of brand experience, this one's for you. Let's get into it.
Can you believe we're at the end of series one?
No, especially when it was like a bit of a folly idea, wasn't it, to start with?
Yeah, it was. But I don't want to speak for both of us, but I really enjoy doing this. I think we've covered so many interesting topics, and you know, it is almost the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it? Which I'm sure we'll get onto a little bit later on in this. But yeah, I can't believe that we've, you know, all that time's gone since starting episode one.
It's also like therapy, isn't it?
Yeah, in some ways, yeah, definitely.
Especially when you're the prince of pop-up, it's like a...
Well, exactly.
It's a good place to sort of let out all your inner thoughts on retail and brand experience. So maybe season two, I need to get a new hobby.
Or maybe change your moniker. Maybe you can actually, you know, take to the throne for season two and become the king of the pop-up.
It's too highbrow for me, that. It's too highbrow.
So I think a good place to start today, though, is we kicked off the series with is retail dead, and it was such a big question, that wasn't it? And I think over the last 9 episodes, is it 9 or 10? It's 9, isn't it?
This is the 10th. The first one was a bit of a foray into it. I think we sort of fed our way into it. Whereas, yeah, the physical retail one was the first real episode I think we did.
Yeah. And I think across those episodes, we can well and truly say that it's not dead. I think it's forever evolving, isn't it? But it certainly isn't dead.
No, and I think what's been good in the episodes that we've done is each of those has explored why it's not dead. Now, I think we said in the first episode that it's not dead. It's dead in the true sense of physical, like what we knew as physical retail. But then I think that the things that we looked at over the course of this series, things like the collabs, the things that are happening in Asia and like all the mad stuff that's happening in China and Korea and Japan and all of those things that we're now sort of beginning to see kind of seed its way over here in Europe and into the US. But then also the kind of thoughts that we had on how important the strategy is behind those, you know, these, especially from a sort of Asian lens, these are not just things that are happening for the sake of it. They've got much bigger thought processes behind it. And I know we looked at that. And then this thing about the budget, which I think is really important, again, is still important, especially with probably the economic sort of climate at the minute, that it doesn't have to be budget blowing to deliver kind of impact. It just has to be well executed and well thought out. And right through to kind of what that actually means in day to day. I think the last episode we were looking at was kind of real life examples in beauty, and so it's been really interesting to see where we started that conversation about physical retail and actually then exploring in depth what's happening in the market. And I think looking back and just prepping for this episode, is so much has happened, isn't it?
Yeah.
In that time. When did we start? Beginning of this year, March, was it?
Yeah.
And so much has like happened in the market, even from where it probably was at that point, and we were questioning about the future of the industry and things like that, to where we are now is kind of light years as to where I think we're going. For me, I'm super, it's now, and that's probably why we're going to come back for season two, and to talk about what what's going to happen, because there's so much happening.
Well, I just think it's gathering pace as well, isn't it? Even since we started this, there just seems, and I know we've talked about this in a number of episodes, but there just seems to be something new every day, whether it's a new collab, the Levi's Nike one that came out the other day, I don't know whether you've seen that, or it's an absolutely, what looks like a budget-busting new pop-up in the shape of the Louis ship that's just appeared.
Budget-busting, yeah. It's literally insane. And that, I think that, yeah, and that is the, that's kind of the, what's really interesting now is I think when we started this conversation, like you said, I think there was a lot of things happening, but there was things just happening. But there's, it's like things have gone on like steroids now, and it's,
yeah.
And it's like the Louis ship actually is this little line in the sand is, for anyone's not seen it, it's the Louis Vuitton. I've launched a ship,
yacht,
cruise
like a,
ship.
It's like a, yeah, it's a cruise ship pop up, isn't it? But it is insane.
In Shanghai, it's basically a ship shaped store formed of kind of like trunks in Shanghai. And you can literally go on an entire cruise ship, sort of pop up in the middle of the city, which is insane. And I think that kind of now sets a precedent where we were probably referencing Louis Vuitton's Murakami, I think, a lot at the beginning. I think we had to stop talking about it because that was like the blueprint for where brand activation was. Now, I think loads of brands have caught up to that the Murakami activation. So I think we were talking at the time about vending machines, coffee, food,
cinema.
All of those things were super important. I think not everyday brands, but the kind of what you'd call non-luxury brands like Lululemon are in this world, Coach are in this world. They're doing amazing stuff. Like Lululemon have done ice or roller skating rings. They've done like festival takeovers. They've done, so they're now really moving into what I would call was that kind of world for luxury. Coach are doing the same. So it's now kind of meant the luxury brands have got to level up again.
I think, and that's a really good place to take that, because if what we were saying at the beginning of us starting the podcast was that it felt like lots of things are happening and now that's gathered pace, even over the last, you know, 3 or 4 months, I think that's a really good point you made there, that because we were talking about this before, weren't we, that has the Louis overstepped the mark? Does it feel a little bit too, you know, I use the word ostentatious carefully, but a bit too much? But actually, it might feel as though that they've had to do that to almost level up again. Because we were talking about the Murakami thing, weren't we? And we were waxing lyrical about that because it had all the touch points. You had the taste with the cafe in there. You had the site with the cinema. You had the vending machine, so it's immersive. So you've got all those things that keep people at the activations. But then, like, I think that's a really good point you make about it becoming a bit of a blueprint. Everybody's doing that now. That's almost like the bar, isn't it? So how do you raise the bar? I know. We'll dock a cruise ship that is insane. You know, there's because I read an article about it saying, was it a hint towards them potentially going into hospitality? That's what I was saying to you before. Could you stay on it? I don't think you can stay on it, can you? But there's a cafe and a restaurant.
Yeah, but it's all their sort of homage to their kind of like Shanghai's culture, the port culture, and this kind of gateway to the east, and obviously nods to their history of this trunk, their luggage and all of their travel. Is the story is incredible. Yeah, the activation to build a like a full-size cruise ship, to even think 12 months ago that would happen, the rise of experiential is insane, I think. And I think Louis, there was a point where Louis Vuitton did the XR outside of the New York store, and they clad it in luggage. And again, you kind of look back to that and you go, oh, that was incredible at the time. And I don't think that was that long ago, probably earlier this year.
But it feels like it's constantly leveling up. You know, to talk about standing in a store, I always go back to the North Face one with the puffer. Mm-hmm. And it feels like that's a given now, just cladding a store. That's an easy thing, not an easy thing to do. That's maybe being a bit harsh, but it's something that you see a lot of. So now it's like, what can we do that is completely different? And bang, that, you know, they do the cruise ship.
Yeah, which I think is really interesting. Now, I suppose the question is, yeah, where does that go? What does that mean for other brands? I think it really opens up this conversation that obviously we started this, like we said, talking about, is physical retail dead? Well, you can see Louis Vuitton don't think it's dead.
No.
This is a physical thing that they think that this is not a part of their like traditional retail. This is experiential. So I think physical retail in its traditional terms is probably dead in a way, but experiential retail is definitely not. And that's where brands are investing. And I think we know that. And even from conversations we're having with probably traditional retailers, they're really now trying to understand how to move into this market, aren't they?
Yeah. And I feel like, yes, physical retail is, I think rather than saying it's dead, it's evolving, isn't it? And it's having to work harder. So it's having to work harder to get that footfall into the store. And that having to work harder is by making it more immersive, making it more experiential, making it more exclusive. You know, we talk about the project that we did with Stanley in Harrods, where, you know, you've got the engraver on site to engrave the Stanley Quencher, you've got the barista. I mean, coffee, you know, coffee's been part of that experiential event since year dot, hasn't it? But the retail has had to evolve to sort of keep up, and you know, that's where it's going. And I'm really excited to see where it, because it will just keep going, which I think is great.
Yeah, I think the thing we've got to be careful, the industry's got to be careful of, and this is what happened to retail, I suppose, is everything became quite copy-paste. So yeah, you would see what someone else was doing, and you would just replicate that. So I think with like this summer, there's loads of beach clubs. Yeah. So last summer, there was the luxury brands were doing beach clubs, but this summer brands, normal brands, if we're just gonna, I don't know what you would call them, everyday brands versus a luxury brand, are doing beach club takeovers. And you're kind of a bit like, and even Burberry have just done, I think with the Standard in LA, is that one they've just done? Yeah. And so obviously collabs are working, but I think it's the interesting bit now is authenticity and not just doing stuff for the sake of doing it. And that's retail found its way in doing copy and paste. So like physical retail, we call it, everyone's store started to look the same. So they were very minimal.
It's about what's new, isn't it? And who's got the balls to break the mold and do the next thing? And obviously Louis have done that this week with the Louis. But it is, and that's why I find it so exciting, because it's who's going to do. Another thing that we've talked about, haven't we? I've certainly talked about a lot on LinkedIn, is that there's community-based run clubs out of some of the challenger running brands. And that was almost a copy and paste, wasn't it? So it's like, what are those guys going to do? Because I'm really excited about what those guys are going to do next. We've seen the collabs with Loewe that's gone into the corner shop. We've seen the community run hubs that Hoka have done, that On have done. But what are you going to do next, guys? Because that's what's going to set you apart again. Because obviously, we've talked about this before, but Nike are coming back, and they're going to strike back.
Yeah, and it goes back to that episode where we talked about the importance of the strategy and this the idea. So just because you're a running brand doesn't mean you have to have a run club. It's what's the point of your activation? I think that's it's going to be even more important now. That's why I think some of these beach club takeovers for me feel a little bit whitewashed, or whatever you call it, pinkwashed now, whatever it's called, where you're just taking a space, the Standard Hotel, and then sort of logo slapping onto it, and there's no kind of depth to that story. So I think brands have to be really careful, and that's definitely evolved over this course of this series of the podcast. I think is that you're seeing brands seeing that they have to do everything that we've spoke about, probably because they've listened to this podcast. That's probably why, you see, they're all
exactly. And that, you know, that's our reason for being, isn't it? But I think it is you know, on this wrap up, it is important as well to sort of, you know, nod our heads to what we want to bring into season two as well. I think we're going to have a bit of a break over the summer, aren't we, and then come back sort of raring with some more content. And I think one of the things I've really enjoyed, and we did it a couple of times, over this series and having guests on. Obviously, we had Charlotte on for when we were talking about beauty, and we brought Scott on to talk about the Unbannable Jordan campaign. And I've really enjoyed that. I think it'd be good to do more of that in the next series.
Yeah, I think having different, and that is definitely something that would is really kind of useful, and getting different voices and opinions on things, and just sort of seeing other thoughts. And I think, yeah, even from people inside the brands, I know we've talked about having people within the brands to kind of talk about what's happening, because I think it's really interesting. We sort of look at it from an agency lens, don't we? And the things that we're working on, and the projects, and how we're working, and the kind of things we're trying to do with our clients, I suppose. And we do understand from talking to those clients the sort of challenges that they're facing, not only from their internal structures. I think they're really interesting things to dive deeper into. Yes, this is what you should be doing. These are all like, yes, Louis Vuitton have just created a giant ship, but what's stopping brands doing these activations? Why is there a challenge? Like, I know we talk a lot to brands about that, or I do especially, is that their internal sort of like setups aren't sort of set up for these kind of things. The budgets are really difficult. The biggest one that I know would definitely say for us to dive into in more depth is we get a question a lot on data, don't we, on return on investment, the data side of things. That's definitely something. I don't know, we've been doing a lot of like research into kind of metrics and understanding the kind of return on investment, because that seems to be the biggest challenge at the moment in the industry, is that the kind of accountant side, the finance side of the business really wants to understand the return on investment.
And that has been key, hasn't it? We've talked about this before, and we often do this in a pre-briefing meeting with a client. It's almost like, what does good look like? Because it might not just be a numbers thing. Obviously, that's what the finance teams want to see, but it might not just be a numbers thing. It can be something that's based on social engagement. It can be lots of different metrics. But if you understand that when you start the process, then you're in a win-win situation, because then you can go back to the brand or the retailer and just say, you know, this is what you wanted to do, and we've done it.
Yeah, I think it's difficult, because I think that and doing some I was judging recently for, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I've just said it, the creative retailer was. And it's interesting to see some of the metrics being used for the activations now, is that we're not measuring the stuff in footfall anymore. We're measuring stuff in like the number of coffees served.
Oh, really? Wow.
Which I think is also so really interesting for us to dig into next season, because is that a viable metric? Like, are we now, as kind of brand creative agencies, are we trying to like, what is the, I think that's a really interesting thing, and definitely for us to look at, is the metrics, because I'm not sure if just because you sold or served up 600 coffees, if that's a successful activation. So I think there's a lot more.
It feels a little bit like that's almost like a massage number, doesn't it? Because it's like, you know, we've suggested we're going to serve coffee. It's free. I'm sure how many are you going to get rid of?
I suppose if that's the only tangible action.
True.
And I think this is where probably we'll see, and this is what will be in the next season we should definitely look into, and it's definitely where the industry is going, is these things have to become more tangible in what they're driving for the brand. I think at the moment everything's just done on a, it's what you kind of, it's, that's probably where the copy and paste stuff is doing, you know. Oh, we see people doing coffee, so we should probably do coffee. We'll do coffee, and we know it works because we can then measure how many coffees someone we've served over that course of the 4-day pop-up. But actually, what's the tangible metric there?
You're desperate to say, what moves the needle? You know, your favorite phrase.
Move the needle, yeah. I can't believe I haven't said that in so many minutes.
Well, I've got to say it for you.
What moves the needle? And I think that's where these will go. I suppose the question, if we refer back to Louis Vuitton's ship, though, I still don't understand how you can, what the metrics on that is. Because
well, again, I would imagine there'll be some quite simple ones. There'll be a way of working out how many people have been onto the ship. There's retail inside the ship, so there's simple sales. So you know it, but again, it literally has landed like bang, hasn't it? And it made me laugh actually, because do you remember when we were talking on one of the previous episodes? And one of the things that lots of potential clients will say to you and me, we're not Louis Vuitton. And there's a really good example of exactly what they mean.
Yeah, although Coach has done an aeroplane, they've done aeroplanes, which is okay. Pretty cool. So yeah, I'd be interested to see who's going to build an island. Who's doing the next? Who's going?
How long is the ship there for? Do you know?
I've no idea. It's literally, there's not much information. It's sort of creeping out now, but even LV haven't really pushed it out yet. So right. I think it launches today. So
we had someone from LV on the live the other day, shouldn't we? Didn't we? We should ask them.
I know. So yeah, it's definitely, I think this is, it's an interesting point as to which to sort of wrap up this season. There's definitely the things that we've talked about we're seeing come to fruition, or they were anyway over the time, and actually we've come to this point now where I think we're going to see so much more. What that looks like, I don't know, and who's doing it, and then who's coming into the space. You know, you've got Topshop are literally coming back.
Well, we've got Topshop coming back. We've got Nike Town reopening. That for me is an exciting one.
Yeah. So, what's Topshop going to do? Like, what's that mean? I think it'd be really interesting to see now. So, I think where we started this episode or this series, questioning or looking into the kind of role of physical retail, I think, you know, at the end of this series, it's not changed. In fact, the role has just continued to evolve and take on all those bits that we've spoken about, and to be the home of all of the things we talked about, the kind of all of the collabs, all of this content that's being driven, all of the engagement. That's what is now driving these kind of big spaces, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think what's quite nice is, because we love this world so much, there's constant questions being thrown up all the time, aren't there? One of the questions for me is, we've got to do another episode on collabs in season two. That's one of my fave topics. So we need to chew on that in somehow, because they're literally, you know, we're literally being hit with them daily, aren't we?
Yeah, and I think that's because we're constantly required, like this, with trying to serve up constant noise in the market or something to talk about, or yeah, it'd be interesting to see where that all goes next. Who's doing what that means for brands, really. And also if it continues, like, or if there's something else that comes into that space, like whether we'll get sort of collab fatigue. The bits we didn't talk about, and the bits that have evolved since the beginning of this series, is things like this massive rise in kind of like kid altness. So like, I don't think at the beginning of this year, when we started this podcast, I don't think we knew what a Le Boo Boo was.
No.
I don't even know if you know what a Le Boo Boo is now. That's the question. I don't know if I've ever asked.
Only from talking to you, I've got a little bit of an idea. And the one that, you know, sort of passed us by as well, that would have been a nice one to talk about, was the Gentle Monster Bratz thing as well. There's been quite a lot of nostalgia's core, for want of a, you know, I just made up a word there, but there has, hasn't there, recently. And I think that is quite interesting. Because that's right.
Y2K core.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not very nostalgic to me. It's kind of feels like it's only like two years ago.
Yeah, but that LA pop up was amazing.
Yeah, and I think this that's definitely something that we hadn't. I think when I was looking back at when we did the live the other week, like I said, I did a sort of revisit in some of the trends. sort of began to look at. And obviously we talked about Jellycat a lot, haven't we? Which is very cutesy. But I think we're now, there's this sort of middle ground of probably, like you say, Bratz, the kind of Popmart, the rise of Popmart. I feel like an OG in Popmart because I used to go into the one in Covent Garden, which was tiny, and not have to queue and just buy some stuff. Now you have to like get a golden ticket and queue up outside. And that's only a ticket. Well, they've stopped it now because it, I think they even though you got a ticket, didn't mean you, that was just a ticket to get in the queue. So they're launching a new way of getting the Labubus now. Yeah, and you have to like register and you get a place in the queue and all these sort of stuff. So it feels, but that's a whole world that's evolved in the last so many months, really, that I think we haven't discussed or even looked at, because that will go into mainstream kind of quite quickly. You can see already all the brands are doing bag things that clip on bags, or so that will evolve into that world. There'll be collabs coming up in that world. So I think that's really interesting, and that's all physical as well. Like it's all tangible. It's all in a box. You have to, it's all unboxing. So in the kind of physical world, I think things are getting even more physical. So after 9 episodes packed with insights, trends, and real world examples, one thing's clear: the future of brand experience isn't about doing more, it's about doing it better.
Brands that win are the ones that lead with intention, the ones that blend physical and digital, strategy and creativity, relevance and emotion. It's not about scale, it's about impact.
If this series sparked ideas or challenges you want to help solve in, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with Sam or I on LinkedIn to continue the conversation. Or if you've got a project on the horizon, then reach out to the team directly at hello@weareipos.com. We're here to help brands turn big thinking into powerful real-world activations.
And if you haven't already, hit follow so you're first to hear what's next. We'll be back with a refreshed and renewed focus for season 2 after the summer.
Thanks for listening.